Our last speaker is Dr. Zhang Guoxing from USDA ARS Lobby. They are topic on the sorghum tiling population, a community resource for sorghum improvement. Dr. Zhang.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you for staying for the last talk. And first of all, I'd like to thank the organizers to give me this chance to share my work. So let's get started. Okay, so now Henry just talked about the new challenge in 21st century. So agriculture, we have been asking to provide food, and we have been asking to provide fiber. Now we need to provide fuels. And not only we need to do that, we need to do that with diminished resources, especially water resources. So I'm sure to meet these challenges, we need to fully use the, you know, the germ plasm we have collected in different centers. And Harry gave an excellent talk about how we use the existing germ plasm. And today, what I'm going to talk about, we generate a new genetic resources that we can use to improve sorghum. So I think sorghum is really an excellent plan to meet these challenges. The reason is that the sorghum has superior tolerance to drought and high temperature, and it's a C4 photosynthesis, and you have a very good water use efficiency. So this will be really great for climate changes and also a promising biofuel stocks, because like a corn, and then we need to cap this for food. We can't use all the corn for produce biofuels. But sorghum can grow in the places where other, economic valuable crop like a corn, like a soybean can grow. So that's a good thing. And so another thing is we have the fine genetic maps and physical maps, and we have diversity panels. And more important, recently we have a complete genome sequencing. So now is really, really exciting time to work on sorghum. So but we don't have a mutant population. And that's something that when I come to sorghum research, and that then people told me, well, that means something that you can do. So I actually, I don't know how much this work takes, but I get into this project. And so then, initially we create a goal. We're trying to create in like 6,400 pedigree mutant lines. Then we can use the mutant line to screen mutant with altered agronomic trait. We can use for breeding. And another thing is we can use this pure population to elucidate gene functions by tilling. And don't worry about tilling. Tilling is just like a simple technique. You found a mutation in a gene that you know the sequence. That's it. So the way we do it is we miscegenize the BTX163, and this is a line used for genome sequencing, and also a parent for many mapping populations. So that's why we choose this line. So we get the growth mount and sending F2 seeds, and because the M2 seeds is basically the pool of different seeds, so we don't use that one. Then we grow another generation. So then on that generation, we're taking only one plant that we're harvesting leaf samples for DNA by using for the tilling study. And then the seeds will go to a pool, and that will be for the phenotype evaluation. So after the phenotype evaluation, we pull 10 heads together, and that seeds will be released for other people to evaluate in other traits. And so the work actually is a lot more difficult than the chart shows. But believe me. First of all, when I get the seeds, the stock is not very pure. So we have to get through 6 generations of self-in cross, and I'm lucky that I have a 31 years of experienced sorghum breeder help me to select the red one. So you can see this is the M1 field after we clean up this thing, and those fields just like carpet, they were very uniform genetically. And another thing is that the sorghum is super sensitive to EMS treatment. So like I worked with Abdopsy before, we used 0.3 to generate lots of seeds. But for sorghum, 0.3 don't produce any seeds. So we have to try serious concentrations and to get that work. So then the third thing is after mutagenesis, sorghum is extremely outcrossing. The big problem that we have to put back on every head before they flowering, and that creates the cozy environment for the worms to grow. And then if you don't control the worms, they get every seed. And so in the annual season, we have to compete with bird. And I mean, yeah, to see who can harvest more seeds. But anyway, despite all these difficulties, and we did create some population, but not meet our goal yet, but we do have some population. And here I just show the population is really very variable. I mean, all the kind of mutant we can think of, we see it. We have long leaf, short leaf, we have wide leaf, narrow leaf. And so we look at the leaf, the spot mutant. We have all kinds of spots, big spots, small spots, the whole leaf, necrotic. And those problems are very important to dissecting the disease, resistant pathways, and things like that. But we also get some actually useful traits out of the mutation. That's kind of surprising to me. So one of the things is the monocom mutation. And that one's, they just grow one don't tiller. So that's actually a very good trait for drought, because in the drought conditions, usually tiller do not produce any seeds. And they just waste a bunch of water. And especially when your water is limited, you don't want them to grow tiller. So that could be really useful thing. But we also have a lot of tillering mutants. They grow hundreds of tillers and lots of tillers. So I believe the monocom plus multiple tiller, different type of multi-tiller mutant will probably be useful tools for dissecting the tillering process, which is a very important agronomic trait. And so here, this is a hybrid corn, modern hybrid corn. It's not sorghum. So the mutant probably happened to grow with Dr. Chu's corn breeding plot. So most of the modern corn have a erect leaf. And that's one of the traits that make a modern corn hybrid high yield. And sorghum, of course, a lot of good things about sorghum, but under very ideal conditions, sorghum production is not as high as corn. So we have found this is wild type corn. And they have the erect leaf corn, which erect leaf mutant of sorghum, which is almost similar to the corn leaf, modern corn leaf angles. So I hope this trait will be useful to really boost in sorghum yield. And we have a series of different erect leaf mutants, the leaf angle from anywhere from less than 10 degrees to 30. But of course, we have something between 30 and 45, which is ignore those things. And so this is even more surprising to me. And I hope those all the mutants can be confirmed heritable. And they have a large panicles. And this one have a very compact panicle. They produce twice as much seeds as the wild type. And we have lots of different mutants. I really don't have time to go through it. But we do have a website where you can browse around to see different what kind of phenotypes in it. And a library is only useful if people use it. So we really encourage people to visit this website and to see what is useful to your research. And these seeds are free, essentially. And there's no money, you don't need to pay anything to get the seeds. So all you need is just sign a very simple MTA. That's it, because per ARA policy, we can just give the seeds. So that you have to sign. The MTA have no limitation on your what you can do. And just like acknowledge us, that's it. So I'm here, I want to switch gear and talk about a few projects that I collaborate with people. And here is the heat sensitive mutant, which is after heat wave, and the plant just died. Mutant design, wild type is okay. But that's why you study this. But that means, because as I told you before, sorghum have very good heat tolerance. Now you knock a gene out and make them heat sensitive. What gene is? That mutant could give a tool to find the gene that make the sorghum heat tolerant. So I collaborate with Junpeng Chen on that project, and she is an expert in the heat tolerance and orthopsis and also in corn. So another project that I collaborate with Mingli Wang and also Jeffrey Peterson. And here, this don't worry about the graph. This just shows we have used this gene that involved in lignin biosynthesis. We found two mutation lines, which has a mutation in this spot. And so all these two mutations turn out have the brown military trait. You see this wild type, and these are two mutants. And the brown midrib mutant is good for digestion and good for ethanol yield. So here is after the phosphoglucidal staining for the lignin. So you can see wild type have a lot of lignin, and these two mutants have a decreased lignin. So we have collected over 100 new brown midrib mutants. So I won't go through everything. Well, I just summarize this one. So what Peterson did is they found a new allele for BMR2, which is a very much needed allele in sorghum. We don't really have much that resource. And we have six novel mutant alleles, which are different from any of the known BMR mutants. And those could be useful. And we don't know how many loci those six novel ones represent. But Peterson and Marius are doing the digestion to see the ethanol yield and digestibility. And so then as I showed you before, we have a lot of leaf spot mutant. And to my eye, it's just another mutant. So I mean, the leaf spot, so what? But for Dr. Waters, he is a nutrition, children nutrition, and also plant biologist. And he was thinking this mutant is very similar to the rice iron ore accumulators, and that's what's iron deficiencies. So he went to the field this summer and went through the plot, get 200 of this kind of mutant, and have you analyzed with the equipment to see the iron level in it. And hopefully we can get some mutant that can help us to understand iron accumulation and maybe improve the iron use, the nutrition level, and also iron use efficiency. And with this, we have a pedigree mutant library now, and we welcome people use it. And as I said before, a library is useful, it's only people use it. So we really welcome to use it. And I'd like to thank my collaborators in RCC. I have a lot of collaborators. I don't want to go over all the names. And then my technician, Dean Fox, and Charlie Whitfin, who's the sorghum breeder who helped me go through all this trouble. And my research leader, John Burke, for his support. And especially during the low time that without his encouragement, I can't continue this work, really. So I thank my crew, who are working to breathe the heat in Lubbock, Texas, and get all back, worm treated. And well, thank you for your attention.